Welcome back to Radio Islam International Time. Right now is 18 minutes to 11 o'clock. This is our weekly panel discussion. And in the studios of Radio Islam, we have Maulana Nazir Jasad Sahab Damat Barakatuhum. Maulana is a teacher at Lanesia Muslim School, as well as the imam at Rainbow Masjid in Lanesia. So firstly, we welcome Maulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you this morning, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, Allah's karam, alhamdulillah.
We say jazakallahu khairan for availing yourself, Maulana, this Sunday morning and taking out your valuable time to share your important advices with our listeners of Radio Islam.
Jazakumullah khair for giving me the opportunity to share, inshallah.
Then we cross over to Sandton, where we speak to Maulana Arshad Fakir, who's the imam at Masjid al-Duha in Sandton. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you this morning, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah.
And we also say jazakallahu khairan to yourself for availing yourself, Maulana, this Sunday morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward in abundance.
Ameen, jazakallah. Just to Maulana, I'm not sitting in Sandton, I'm currently in Marlborough.
Yeah.
I only serve the Sandton community.
MashaAllah.
Assalamu alaikum to Maulana Nazir Saf as well.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So the topic this morning is the effects and the remedies of jealousy. As we know, jealousy is one of the most negative emotions a man may have towards his fellow being. It makes him to wish downfall for others and to be delighted when failure grips them. So today we discuss this important topic of jealousy. So Maulana Nazir Sahab, since seeing you are sitting in front of me in the studios of Radio Islam, let's begin with you. To introduce this topic, what does Quran say about jealousy and what is jealousy?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. The question that you have posed is, what does the Quran say about jealousy and what is jealousy? To respond, jealousy is an egoistic trait that originates from inner fear and insecurity. The key words, inner fear and insecurity. The fear of losing authority or the self-image one cares to portray leads to an egoistic feeling of resenting the success or the blessings of another. The key word that we need to focus is egoistic. There is an egoistic drive that prompts this kind of feeling. It could also lead to feeling disturbed or threatened by any change or newly introduced knowledge. The coming of the computer makes so many individuals feel inadequate, unable to press the buttons, so envy sets in, for example. Such insecurity further veils the eyes and the brains and impairs the quality of being receptive or tolerant. The Quran Karim teaches us how to stay away from that harmful emotion and how to deal wisely with jealous individuals. A basic guard against jealousy in the Quran is to never question Allah's wisdom of specifying His blessings for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully says, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He is never to be asked about anything he does, while all others are questioned. So important for us to understand. Allah Ta'ala has a plan, and that plan is to be unfolded. Allah Rabbul Izzat is not to be questioned regarding His managing or His management of affairs, while we mortals are questioned constantly, regularly, all the time. If he sees that his brother has something that he does not, I don't have it, he's got it, and he wishes that he had it too, this is ghibta, envy, that is free from malice. That means he's got it, I'd like to have something like that as well, without him losing what he has. If he wishes that the blessing would be taken away from them, from those persons, then it is compounded. Now you wish that person a loss and yourself a gain. This is called hasad, destructive jealousy. Jealousy essentially resentment or enviousness of a rival, a person enjoying success or advantage, etc. Secondly, mental uneasiness or discontentment from suspicion or fear of rivalry, unfaithfulness, that unsettled environment. Number three, vigilance in maintaining or guarding something, permanently uneasy, pacing up and down. Would I lose this? Guarding one's den all the time. Will somebody snatch this away? Is my position under question? And that unsettled mentality. So those are the three matters. Resentment, uneasiness, and constant vigilance on the guard all the time, like a security guard guarding something which is going to be slipped away or lost sooner or later. Those are the effects of jealousy.
Wonderful. Jazakallah for the detailed explanation, Molana. Now, Molana, Arshad, coming to you, Molana used the word ghibta in there. So in the Quran and Hadith, we find the word hasad and ghibta. They are mentioned all the time. What's the difference between these two words, hasad and ghibta?
Gee, Molana, hasad, as Molana made mention, which reads simply, in simple terms, which is jealousy, means to desire a bounty that is enjoyed by another person by its being removed from him. That is hasad. That you see another bounty by somebody, you feel why that person's got that bounty, and together with this, you have this hatred in your heart for that person, and you don't want to see that person having that bounty from Allah. And the other aspect, which is ghibta, it's different. It is also a type of jealousy, but you desire a bounty enjoyed by another person without hoping that he may be deprived of it. And that is the core of the word, without hoping that he may be deprived. And as we know, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا حسد إلا في اثنتين. Ibn Mas'ud is a narrator that envy is not lawful except with regard to two people. رجل آتاه الله مالا فسلته على هلكتي في الحق ورجل آتاه الله الحكمة فهو يقضي بها ويعلمها. That one is Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with wealth and he spends it in a path of truth, and a person whom Allah granted wisdom and he gives judgment by it and he teaches it, etc. So from here we find that this is a type of, you become envious of the person, however you make dua for the person, that person should keep, Allah must bless that person, but Allah should also give me something of that. And this is what is known as ghibta.
Jazakallah for that explanation and mentioning the hadith and making us understand better. Now moving on further, Maulana Nazir, Western studies suggest that jealousy is a natural feeling and is a common, this thing is common in everybody. Looking to the teachings of our deen and sharia, is it correct to utter such statements, Maulana?
There is an explanation to this matter. To say that Western studies suggest that jealousy is a natural feeling, it is, but obviously it has to be managed. Jealousy is completely normal. It is an inherent natural trait within a person. And even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved wives, our beloved mothers, experienced it. Although it's normal to feel jealous sometimes, it's important to try to control it and not let it turn into envy. You see, these are categories we need to be mindful of. If you see that someone else has something you want and you wish it for yourself, that is called ribta, which is positive energy. He can have it, enjoy it, hope to have it as well. That is fine, which is positive envy. If you wish that thing was taken away from that person and given to you instead, that is destructive jealousy, which you want to avoid at all costs. This is something that we abhor. This is the kind of trait that is not acceptable. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that states, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسه. None of you will truly believe, true faith hasn't settled, until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So having destructive feelings of jealousy towards another does not fall under the category of loving for your brother what you love for yourself. Because there is ulterior motive, destruction, harm, and that is not acceptable. This hadith explains one should be jealous of another. No one should be jealous of anything except two people. A man whom Allah has blessed with knowledge, and that person goes about teaching it, and a man who has money, and he spends it in the sake of Allah. So that is acceptable, that is fine. Again, jealousy and envy are natural human emotions. But just because they're natural, does not mean we shouldn't try our best to control ourselves, except in the cases explained in the hadith, where a person is reading Quran, where a person is giving charity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against jealousy and envy, and the evil feelings it creates between brothers and sisters in Islam. Hasad, jealousy and envy, is a disease of the heart and makes your heart impure, which is very dangerous for your iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Beware of jealousy, for verily it destroys good deeds the way firewood is destroyed."
Mm.
Or fire destroys wood. How it devours wood, likewise, jealousy devours good deeds. There are some verses in the Quran Kareem where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ فَمَا الَّذِينَ فُضِّلُوا بِرَادِّ رِزْقِهِمْ عَلَىٰ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَهُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءٍ أَفَبِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. Allah favored some of you over others with wealth and properties. Do they deny the favors of Allah? In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Sorry, that is, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ مَا آتَاهُمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. Do they envy men for what Allah has given them of His bounty? And then, in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it further. أَهُمْ يَقَسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. It is we who portion out between them their livelihood in this world, and we raised some of them above others in rank, so that some may employ others in their work, but the mercy of your Lord is better. So in all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking of categories of people and distribution. And in Surah An-Nisa again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. And wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel over others. So, categories, positions, places that people have been placed in, those are best fitted for those individuals. There should be no such jealousy from one class or category or one camp of the other camp. That is, I hope essentially I've answered the question with regards to Western studies, jealousy being a natural trait, and how it should feature in the life of a believer.
It's wonderful, Jazakallah, for that. Just to remind our listeners, you are listening to our weekly panel discussion on this Sunday morning. Time right now is 5 minutes to 11 o'clock. We just have about 4 more minutes left before we break away from our news bulletin. And inshallah, we'll continue once again after the news bulletin. But to remind our listeners, we have two panelists. Firstly, we have Mulana Nazir Jasad from Lanesham. Mulana is a teacher at Lanesham Muslim School. And then also we have Mulana Irshad Fakir, who's currently sitting in Marlborough. But Mulana is the imam at Masjid Duha in Senten, and also the principal of Crosby Madrasa. Mulana is the principal there also. So, Mulana, we have a few more minutes just to ask you one more question. Mulana Irshad, coming back to you, that it is common or natural to feel protective over one's spouse, and we refer this in Urdu and Gujarati and Arabic as ghairat. So please explain the difference between this, the word ghairat, and the word jealousy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mulana, as you said, ghairah, which normally in English we term it as protectiveness over one's spouse, over one's family, etc. But I just read something and I thought, let me share it before we speak about the difference.
Hmm.
One person was giving a talk, I think it was in Pakistan, and he looked at his audience, and he said that we do not have a word for ghairat in English. So one of his friends paused and then this person paused and he looked around at his friends, and people are looking at him that, what does he mean? I mean, we translated it as type of protectiveness. So he said, that's not the actual meaning. That's just a type, or it's not a, there's a meaning just to match it. But as we know, the Arabic language, and even Urdu as well, we find that certain words don't have a direct meaning in the English language. You need to understand it within the context of the cultures, etc. So then he said, the reason I'm saying this, because they do not have ghairah in the West. And that is what he says. They don't have ghairah, the protectiveness over their women folk. That is why you won't find an actual meaning.
SubhanAllah.
So coming back, what is it? That we live in societies in which most men and women have lost, unfortunately, their sense of modesty. Allah protect us. Allah bring back modesty in the ummah. And we find that women are always obsessed with their appearance and wear clothes to be seen by others and to attract the attention of other men, even if they are married. And the husband, on the other hand, he feels he gets upset. And he's getting upset at this moment that when the wife is leaving the home, she's not dressed in a particular manner. The reason he's getting upset because it is his protectiveness. It is not jealousy. As Maulana made mention of hasad and jealousy, is that when you are upset with somebody because Allah had blessed that person or something and you want that to be removed. That is the real meaning of a jealousy. Here in ghairah, a person doesn't want anything to be removed. A person is protecting. He's upset because he doesn't want anybody, for example, taking the example of someone stretching their eyes towards his spouse. He does not want anybody to look towards his spouse. And this is the aspect of ghairah, the protectiveness. And we find that it is a natural built feeling that Allah Ta'ala has given men and women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the most ghairah for his wives, and all the sahaba were known for the ghairah. And all Muslim men should have a collective sense of this protectiveness, this ghairah, for our Muslim woman. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that men are the protectors and the maintainers of the woman. There's a story which I would like to just touch on, and then, inshallah, we can go for the break. It is mentioned that how we can further understand this aspect of ghairah. And we know that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha had two daughters, Sayyidina Asma and Sayyidina Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha. Abu Bakr was a very wealthy merchant, and he married his daughter Asma to a companion by the name of Hazrat Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anha. Zubair ibn Awam, on the other hand, was from a poor class, a poor man. He didn't have much wealth, but a very pious and obviously noble companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Asma radiallahu anha makes mention of a hadith, and says that, makes mention in a hadith of an incident, that when Zubair married me, he had nothing, he didn't have land or wealth, or nor did he have a slave. So she says, I had to do everything myself. I used to do the kneading of the dough. I used to go and carry the water. I used to carry the dates, etc., on my head, and I used to bring it home, etc. So he says, one day when Nabi alayhi salam had given Zubair bin Awam a piece of land in Medina Munawwara, and obviously this was a few distance away from Medina itself, from the home of Zubair. So Asma radiallahu anha also used to help Hazrat Zubair in this land. So once she was returning, carrying some date, etc. on her head. And she says, I happened to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along the way with a group of sahaba. So Nabi alayhi salam called me and said, oh Asma, here is a camel, and he asked that the camel to sit down, and that Asma should be put onto the camel, and that she may be taken home on the camel. So Asma radiallahu anha said this, and this is what we're coming to. I felt shy to go with men, and I remember, she says, the ghairah, that self-protectiveness of my husband, Zubair ibn Awam. So the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood why she felt shy, and he left her. When Zubair radiallahu ta'ala came home, and she said that I met the Rasul of Allah today, he was with a few companions, and this is what had transpired. And Zubair, and I did not want to mount onto this camel, because Zubair, oh my beloved husband, I remembered your ghairah. And that's the reason I have declined the offer by none other than the Nabi of Allah. So Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala said, by Allah, the thought of you carrying date stones or date upon your head is more severe burden on me than you riding with him. But look at the sense of dignity and modesty of Asma. How she felt shy in front of men, and knowing that if my, how her husband thinks about it. So sometimes what happens is we find many a times a girl or a lady will feel that she has contact with the opposite gender, a friend or whatever it is, and openly she speaks and they laugh and they joke. And then when the husband says something, then sometimes Allah forbid, she will also mention this to her friend, that don't worry, of my husband, he's a very jealous person. Mm. It is not jealousy at that moment. This is a sense of protectiveness, which is termed as ghaira, that Allah Ta'ala has blessed her husband. Mm. And it is a good trait. This should be in the life of every person. Mm. That how can I allow, and how can I make it that my daughters and my wife and our sisters leave the home when they dressed in such a manner that their body may be covered with something, but the shape is being revealed outside, and people will be looking at them, and I do not want anybody even to set their eyes upon my wife.
Yes. So well, we'll leave it at that, and inshallah, after the news bulletin, we'll continue. Time right now is just past 11 o'clock. Next up is a news bulletin with Brother Faisal Patel.
في ليلة من الليالي لست أدري ما تراني ظلمة تغورني يا رب الأرض ضاقت والسماء وقلبي ما
راديو إسلام your alternative news source.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yawm al-Ahad, 2nd Rajab 1437, corresponding to Sunday, the 10th of April 2016. I am Faisal Patel. The whereabouts of members of the Gupta family aren't known after reports of the two brothers that may have left the country. This is after resigning from their Oak Bay investment company on Thursday night. City Press is reporting that Atul and Ajay Gupta boarded their private luxury jet at Lanseria Airport on Thursday night after an emotional meeting with shareholders. Noman Panjbaya reports.
The City Press newspaper says the Gupta family have withdrawn from public life in South Africa due to the negative publicity about the proximity to President Jacob Zuma. It says one of the Gupta sons is already living in Dubai and the brothers left Lanseria Airport with enough luggage for 20 people. The report follows the Gupta's resignation from Oak Bay as executive directors, along with the son of the president, Duduzane Zuma. In a statement, the three executives said they pulled out of the country to safeguard the future of Oak Bay employees. The latest development follows a decision by EFSA, SESFIN, KPMG and FNB to cut ties with the family. Noman Panjbaya, Radio Islam News.
South Africans are expected to come out in numbers today to take full advantage of the last voter registration weekend. The IEC has called on people to check whether they are registered and also to provide their addresses. Some areas have already reported an increased turnout, while others say it's been a quiet weekend. Registration points will remain open until 5 p.m. today. Metro Rail in the Western Cape says it's lost 10 carriages after two trains caught fire at Cape Town Station last night. Around 750 meters of overhead wiring on two platforms were also damaged before firefighters managed to extinguish the blaze. Metro Rail's Rihanna Scott says no one was injured and they are now trying to find out what actually happened.
We're encouraging anybody with any information to come forward and we will explore any lead, and also the police are working full steam on this investigation.
Moving to India now, a massive fire has swept through a temple in India during a fireworks display, killing at least 100 people and injuring at least 200 others. The fire broke out on Sunday morning when a spark from the show ignited a separate pile of fireworks that was being stored at the Pattingal Temple complex in the coastal town of Paravur in Kerala state. Thousands of people were packed into the temple when an explosion was heard at about 3 a.m. local time. The blaze then spread quickly through the building, people inside. Local TV channels showed footage of huge clouds of white smoke billowing from the temple as fireworks continued to explode in the night sky. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi said on Twitter that he was on his way to the site of the fire. Gold is trading at $1,239.57 FI an ounce. The rand is at $14.97 to the dollar, $21.15 to the pound, $17.07 to the euro. Brent crude oil is $41.89 a barrel. The Saudi riyal is $3.92. Mehr Fatimi, $12,277.81. Zakat Nisa, $4,911.12. Othala Sofana, Teles permission, a partly cloudy day for Gauteng. Johannesburg, a low of 11, reaching a high of 25. Pretoria, 13 and 26. Vanessa, 9. All also with a high of 25. In your Salah times for the Johannesburg region, Sawal sits at 12:09 p.m., Asr at 4:19 p.m., Maghrib at 6:01 p.m., and Isha at 7:14 p.m. In your Salah times for the Kimberley region, Sawal sits at 12:22 p.m., Asr at 4:30 p.m., Maghrib at 6:12 p.m., and Isha at 7:27 p.m., inshallah. Recapping your top story on Radio Islam International News at this hour, the whereabouts of members of the Gupta family aren't known after reports that the two brothers may have left the country, and you can read the story on radioislam.co.za. From myself, Faisal Patel, inshallah, I will be back tomorrow. So until then, fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Radio Islam, bringing you news from around the world and from your very own doorstep on Medium Wave 1548.
ANC Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabrics. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design. Unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and tulles from the most talented creators of fashion. 5 Pelican Avenue, Linasia, 011-852-4910. ANC, usually unusual fabrics.
Contact Linasia Livestock and Poultry for all sadaka and hakika requirements. We offer clean, hygienic, abattoir style and refrigeration facilities. Sheep, goats and cows are available at competitive market-related prices, direct to the public. We slaughter, slice and distribute on your behalf. Kom praat met ons vir 'n goeie deal. Ons kan iets vir jou uitwerk. Linasia Livestock and Poultry. Livestock is our business. We are SANA approved. Telephone 011-857-177.
It's exciting. Pressure is mounting. The 5th annual Northern Cape, Northwest and Free State Islamiyat Speech Contest is back. Don't miss out on the opportunity to listen to young talent. From Kimberley to Klerksdorp, from Freiburg to Welkom, from Kroonstad to Potchefstroom, from Mahikeng to Rustenburg and Lichtenburg, taking you on a spiritual journey. Join us in Kimberley on Sunday, the 17th of April 2016 at the Mita Siperepere Convention Center from 9 a.m. or tune into Radio Islam to witness the unveiling of young talent. Radio Islam International, Radio International. The world, the is, world our community. Is our community.
NMC Exquisite Cookware brings you the best rancho deal ever. Buy the Kalinas set of pots that was selling for 15,950 rands. Now only 999. And we'll throw in 2 pots absolutely free. Or take the primary plus set that was selling for 8,346 rands. Now only 499. Contact Sumeya for this incredible offer. 011-852-6298 or 083-2582-786. Special ends 15th April or while stocks last. NMC Cookware of Distinction.
في ليلة من الليالي لست أدري ما تراني ظلمة تغورني أرى الأرض ضاقت والسماء وقلبي ما عرف الضياء والدمع بات أبكي يا إلهي يا تستحق يا إلهي العفو مجرما مقر بالذنوب يا إلهي يا إلهي.
Coming to you live 7 days a week. This is Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548.
رحمتني ورزقتني دوما يا ربي قد كنت
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to the second and the final hour of our weekly panel discussion. The topic that we are discussing today, the cause and effects and remedies of jealousy. We have two esteemed guests. Firstly, Maulana Nazir Jassad is sitting in front of me in the studios of Radio Islam. Maulana is a teacher at Lanesia Muslim School and also the Imam at Rainbow Masjid. And then on the line we have in Marlboro, Maulana Arshad Fakir. Maulana is the Imam at Masjid al-Duha in Senten and also the principal of Madrasa in Crosby. So we are discussing the topics, what causes the jealousy, the effects of jealousy, and also the remedies of jealousy, inshallah, we'll be discussing that. But before we cross over, and in this hour, we'll start off with Maulana Arshad first. But before that, hasad is a disease of the heart, and it causes impurity to the heart. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather, was asked, who are the best of people? And then Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, the one with a clean heart and a truthful tongue. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the best of people are those people that has a clean heart and also a truthful tongue. Then it was asked that we understand a truthful tongue, but what does a clean heart mean? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and said, it is the heart of the one that is pious, pure, and is free from sin, transgression, hatred, and hasad. So that's the key word, that's the topic we are discussing, hasad. And this hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is the heart of the one that is pious, pure, and is free from sin, transgressions, hatred, and hasad. So hasad is such a dangerous characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed numerous verses in the Quran, and also there's a whole surah that is revealed regarding hasad and protecting ourselves from hasad. That is Suratul Falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. In it we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hasad. So to discuss this important topic of hasad and jealousy, we ask a question now to Maulana Arshad Fakir. Maulana, is it possible that jealousy may lead a person to other evils as well?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazakallah Maulana. Yes, definitely hasad may lead, and if you look at it starting from the inception, from the very early days of mankind when they were sent in this world, the children of Adam alayhi salam, the sons of Adam alayhi salam, and the first murder which took place, the reason for this was because of hasad and jealousy. So it stemmed from there, from hasad and jealousy. So when a person becomes a jealous person, then what happens is, as we made mention, it affects the heart. The heart is not cleaned. Then what, because it continues to cover that heart, just like a guna which falls on the heart, and it continues, if a person don't make tawbah, it creates that type of a black dot and carries on now, continues making the gunas and committing gunas and sins, and do not get in the opportunity of making tawbah, then what actually happens is your heart becomes black, your heart becomes covered, was like a ghilaf, and now no good enters. So what will happen? Anything which bad, that is going to come out. So that is so from one, from it will lead from one sin to another. As we know that we can take an example, and we draw a principle from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked us that stay away from lying. Iyaka wal-kidh, فَإِنَّ الْكِذْبَ يَهَدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. For verily, lying leads you towards transgression and breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. And verily, transgression leads you towards the fire of Jahannam. So this principle can be used on the sin, regarding every other sin as well. That from one guna, if we do not abstain from that guna, then it becomes more severe and we will want to commit the next guna. And as you said, jealousy is death sickness of the heart. That it is such a sickness, just like, you know, if you get pride as well, which is known as Ummul Amrad, jealousy is also part of that type of sicknesses, which is like the mother of all other sicknesses, like a person who is suffering from sugar, and he does not look after himself. Then we find that he'll go to the doctor. The doctor will explain to him that because of his condition of sugar, not looking after himself, hasn't got sufficient his insulin, etc., what happens is now it starts affecting the heart. It starts affecting the actual the liver, and slowly the other organs of the body. Then it actually to such an extent that a person has to amputate his legs or his hands, etc. It started from one sickness. similarly with jealousy. It starts with one thing and it leads to the other. So may Allah protect each and every one of us from jealousy.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah. Time right now is exactly 11:15. We would like to request our listeners, if they have any interactions, if they would like to contribute to the program. The lines are not open, but you can SMS me or WhatsApp me. The number is 076-786-2984. Whatever contributions you would like to make, or you, if you want one of our panelists to comment on it, then you can SMS me or WhatsApp me on 076-786-2984. Mohan Nazir Sahib, a person is normally jealous because he feels other person is superior and better than him. So the question is, could lack of self-confidence lead a person towards jealousy? And how should we deal with this, Mawlana?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The two main causes for feelings of jealousy are lack of self-confidence and poor self-image. One of the reasons why people do selfies using the cell phone and take pictures of themselves and post it out there is to enhance their image. To reassure themselves. It's becoming an addiction. It's becoming a disease. We need to enhance our image, that self-confidence, that assurity. Yes, I am, and I do exist, and I can make an impression. That kind of thing. One gets jealous because of their doubts about their abilities or skills. Am I capable enough? If one was 100% sure of themselves, they would have never suffered from any jealous feelings at all.
Subhanallah.
Poor self-image. Having a poor self-image is another cause of jealousy. If one believes that they are not competent enough, then chances are you'll be experiencing feelings of jealousy whenever you meet someone who portrays confidence and comes across articulate. Now, in order to help oneself with these feelings, first of all, look at those who have less than you. In the hopes of feeling grateful, alhamdulillah, shukr, for all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with. Secondly, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rid oneself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would regularly make the dua, guide my heart and remove ill from my breast. Guide my heart, meaning guide me onto the straight path. Remove ill from my breast, from my chest, from my heart, means take away all insincerity and hatred, all evil feelings towards fellow human beings. Thirdly, get into reciting of the beautiful Quran Karim. It is the best form of shifa, cure. Fourthly, having negative envious feelings to someone destroys good deeds. It devours those good deeds that you've spent so much toiling. So while you're working on fixing your problem, work on increasing the good deeds to cancel out the bad ones, inshallah. And fifthly, count your own blessings, not their blessings. Look at how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us, afforded us. Keep yourself busy, and whenever jealous thoughts cross the mind, A'udhu billah, seek refuge in Allah from the accursed shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and guide, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah. Mulana Arshad, as we continue with our discussion, the jealousies amongst, jealousy amongst siblings can lead to unpleasant and unpleasant complications, especially as they grow older. So has our parenting methods contributed to this, Mulana?
Gee, Mulana, we must understand that whenever there are two or more children in a family, the rivalry between them is inevitable. Jealousy is a common trait, in, as we mentioned, in the in human beings. So what happens is many a times the son will always feel, or the daughter will always feel, that my other siblings or my elders, brothers and sisters, are being more loved, are being more taken care of by our parents, and that is we'll find common. And it is very, very sad as well. And as parents, if we do not control it, it does cause great type of enmity, animosity, and it causes great type of differences in the family. I had once a call from a sister and said that, you know what, I am always from she's obviously she grown up now, she says, but from the time I was young, it was always that my brothers or my sisters, my parents gave them more than me. And you know what, I'm so jealous of my siblings. I don't know what to do, and I don't want to see them happy, but I need this to be removed as well. What do I do? And every time I look at them, I find the more jealous I feel of them, the more they are now moving up in life. But what can I do, Maulana? And it comes back that first and foremost, when the parents are dealing with one another, it is very important to be just. With regard to love, obviously love in the heart of a person, it can be possible even amongst a person who has more than one wife. I mean, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, who do you love the most? What did he say? He said, Aisha radiallahu anha. Mm-hmm. Although he had other wives as well. So certain times love is more in the heart for another person. But that does not mean, now because of that love, you give that person more and you are unjust to the others. A person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Nabi of Allah, I want you to be a witness. I would like to give my son or my child this particular slave or something. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu waladin nahal, did you give it to every other child of yours? He said, La, no. Nabi alayhi sallam said, and I do not want to be a witness to this oppression and this zulm. Mm-hmm. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fattakullah. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa'adilu bayna awladikum, and be just amongst your kids as well. So one of the ways to remove this type of jealousy is that you are just with them. Obviously now there is a difference, and as children also we will feel that my father or my mother is giving to my other brother more. Maybe because what he needs, according to his age, he will need something which is more, and I will need something which is less, say example in clothing. An elder brother's clothes will be always more expensive than the younger ones. So they must not feel that because of that. But however, he's giving according to what the child needs. And we need to look at how much my parents have done for me as well. And from that we can, inshallah, that aspect of jealousy will be removed among siblings between one another. And if you look from the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala makes mention, what was the reason that Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers wanted to kill him and they threw him in the well? Because they said that our father ahabbu ila abina minna wa nahnu usbah, that our father loves our brother Yusuf alayhi salam more than us. And because of that, they knew that he was more dear because of the love and that Allah, the dream that his father Yusuf alayhi salam had seen. And the father understood that this prophethood is going to be now transferred to my son Yusuf. The children felt that Yusuf alayhi salam is getting more, and because of that they wanted to kill him.
Jazakallah, Mawlana. Mawlana Zir Sahib, Mawlana Arshad touched on a very important point regarding sibling rivalry. So should it be discussed with someone when we feel jealous or envious towards a sibling?
Making reference to what Mawlana Arshad Sahib mentioned, again, Yusuf alayhi salam's incident, for example. Sibling envy, rivalry is an innate natural human emotion and weakness, especially when it involves competing for the attention, love or approval of a parent. We want our parents' approval. One of the lessons a person learns when losing a father is ikhlas, doing it only for Allah. Because there isn't that tap on the shoulder anymore where the father says, son, a job well done. Now it is purely Allah Rabbul Izzat's acceptance that a person relies on. The first ever murder of mankind, we know Qabil and Habil, was also committed by one of two blood brothers, and its basis was one's envy at the acceptance of his brother's sacrifice by Allah. Combined with rage at having his own sacrifice rejected. It's a question of who gains more acceptance and approval by their seniors. The lesson for us in that incident is that envy, particularly that which is felt towards a sibling who is more talented, morally upright and physically beautiful, is a negative and destructive trait that can cause us to commit a major sin if not curbed in time. The consequences can be extremely grave. So again, focusing on the question, it needs to be discussed. The most effective way of curbing envy and repelling the negative thoughts that it causes is firstly, focus on our own strengths. Instead of comparing ourselves with our siblings or the object of envy. Secondly, proactively work hard to polish our talents. We have the ability to do certain things. Be good at it. Excel at it. Ensure that it is done with professional standards. Polish our talents to achieve success in the niche that Allah made us to naturally excel. We have the ability, let us say, the sky is the limit. Allah's help descended for Yusuf alayhi salam when one of the plotting brothers themselves, who was an active part of their murderous scheming, instead of murdering, suggested, let's not kill Yusuf, but throw him into the well. And Allah Ta'ala heard that the caravan picked him up. The important lessons we can glean from this initial portion of Surah Yusuf are thus. Envy is an extremely destructive emotion. Discuss it, talk about it, which can rip apart even close familial relationships within a home. The worst harm it inflicts is on the envier himself, who is prevented from personal improvement and professional advancement because of constantly monitoring, observing and plotting and planning against the object of his envy. He's constantly looking at how he can counter the subject or the object that is within his path. Parents need to be very careful in expressing their love towards their children. It would assist the child in managing his day-to-day affairs. If they praise one, they should express some form of love or praise for the other children present as well, within the same time frame and physical setting, in order to prevent envy from being born in their hearts. The same can be said about favoring some children over others whilst giving gifts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade giving a gift to one child or one offspring without giving the same to the others. A simple, I'll end with this hadith of Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu. He said, my father gave me a gift of some of his wealth, but my mother, Amra bint Rawaha radiallahu anha, said, I will not approve of it until you ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've given it to him, but I do not approve of it. Have clarity taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my father went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him to bear witness to the gift. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, have you done the same for all of your children? He said, no. He said, fear Allah and treat your children justly. So you will assist and aid your children in their development. So my father came back and took back that gift so that his parental responsibility could be easily discharged and managed.
Jazakallah for that, Mawlana Nazir Sahib. Mawlana Arshad, earlier on in a program, Mawlana Nazir mentioned with regards to selfies. Now the question to you is, social media on our fingertips, posting pictures of our achievements, possessions and luxuries, are we craving that feeling that people should feel envious of us?
Ji, Mawlana, actually when a person does this, one is you're doing something and together with that you thank Allah Ta'ala. That alhamdulillah, it is the grace of Allah that I have achieved this, and I want people to continue to make dua or something. In that way, you are asking duas of people, your friends. It is to a certain degree, says no problem. But if only posting it with this near, that people must see how good am I, people must see how good my children, people must see how good we are, then obviously you are inviting people to be envious. And then when people become envious and jealous of you, then we complain, and when people start harming us, but where it started from. And that is a principle that we use in life. And you know, the elder people always used to say that logo ke anko mena ana, do not become in the sight of people, in the eyes of people. That is, you know, and our Ustaz Maulana Basav used to say that is why the younger, in the older days, when a child was born, and when the child had a lot of beauty, mashallah, and when the parents wanted to take the child out, we normally find, or question this, that we find that some people, they will put a black dot on the face. Now, what is the reason for putting this black dot on the face? So that is a small blemish on the face. Why? So that people must not only look at the beauty of the entire face. This black dot will now turn away that person who has maybe now for the end to become envious of this child or to become jealous of this child. So similarly, if we're going to only put our achievements out and people will now start, then we are they're looking at it and with this need we are doing it and this intention that people must come to know how good we are the means of them becoming jealous upon us. So this is what needs to stop. And that is why also, even with regard to our wealth that a person have, we normally say looking at the situation in our own country, how many people are unemployed, how many people are employed by us but they cannot have the same thing that we have. And every time we boast our wealth in front of these people, and then we find that the murders and that which are taking place, and ulama tells us from time and again that do not become in the eyes of people, because when you start becoming in the eyes of people, these people in turn become jealous of you. And like we mentioned and Maulana also said, that then what happens, they will now go through any length of causing harm to you, and then murders take place, killings take place, people are being strangled. Why? Because people are seeing our good and we are boasting of it, and because of that these people are now coming in turn and harming us.
Jazakallah, time right now is 28 minutes to 12 o'clock. You are listening to our weekly panel discussion. The topic under discussion this morning is we discuss the causes, the effects and the remedies of jealousy. Mullah Nazir Sab, jealousy is an innate quality. We are born with this quality of being jealous and having this hasad. And from the explanation this morning, we heard from yourself as well as Mullah Arshad Fakir, from the incidents from the Quran that we learn that even Habil and Qabil, they had jealousy, and before that also. So the question is, are there any instances when jealousy would be permissible?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, this hadith appears in Bukhari Sharif, no one should be jealous of anything except two people, a man whom Allah has blessed with knowledge and he teaches it, and a man who has money and he spends it in the sake of Allah. This hadith appears to permit hasad in respect of two persons, because there are many well-known traditions dealing with hasad. The ulama have interpreted this hadith in two ways. Hasad, as denoted by the Arabic word ghibtah, is taken here in the sense of emulation. There is a difference between jealousy and emulation. Hasad is desire that one possessing a blessing should be deprived of it, whether the person who feels jealous acquires it or not. While emulation signifies a desire to possess a thing, whether the actual owner is deprived of it or not. Since hasad is haram under ijma', consensus, general consensus, the ulama have translated by way of metaphor this word hasad as ribta, meaning emulation. Ribta is permissible in worldly affairs and commendable in religious matters. The term hasad, secondly, the term hasad has been used in a hypothetical sense. That is, if hasad has been permissible, it would have been so with regard to the two persons mentioned above. So that sort of hasad that we refer to otherwise is with regards to the person that has knowledge and he teaches that knowledge, or the one that has the means and he spends from those means. So in those instances it would be permissible.
Jazakallah for that explanation. Maulana Arshad Sahab, coming back to you, coming to the solutions now and the remedies of jealousy. So are there any steps that could be taken to avoid jealousy?
See, steps which could be taken to getting rid of jealousy, avoid a jealousy, first and foremost, a person should sincerely, if he finds that he has this illness, then he should first and foremost make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or even before that, when you find that you are becoming jealous of a particular person, then there are a few steps that we can take, and we'll discuss that now inshallah. One is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us tahaddu tahabbu, because you are jealous of the person, you start hating that person, so now you need to create in your heart the love for that person. So the simple hadith of Nabi alayhi salam is that exchange gifts, for the exchanging of gifts creates love in your heart for one another. So what you need to do is give to that person that you are hating, that person that you are jealous of, to remove that jealousy and to avoid being jealous for that person, go and give that person a gift. Secondly, in his absence, make dua to Allah Ta'ala for that person's success. You make dua for the success of somebody in his absence, and as we know, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when you make dua in the absence of your brother, then the malaika says ameen to your dua, as well as they ask Allah to bless you as well. So you making dua for this person to be have a successful life, which you term as success, Allah Ta'ala will bestow you with success as well. So, and the third is, whenever you meet him, then make salam. For the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is very clear in this, that one of the ways to create love between one another is the increasement of salam. That make salam to one another, Allah will cause love in the hearts of one another, in your heart, the love for the next person. So these are the few steps that a person can take in if you find that you are suffering from this disease or this of jealousy for the next person. And then also, don't look only at those people who have more than us. Nabi alayhi salam has taught us that look at those who have less than us. You're living in a, mashallah, in a home. It may be a three-bedroom home. And now your brother or somebody else has a mansion, and you are jealous of that person. Don't look at his mansion. Go and take a drive and look at those people who are sleeping in the squatter camps. They have one hut, one shack, and five people living there. Look at what they have, and then you will thank Allah for what you have, and slowly you will be able to thank Allah Ta'ala, and this will create a contentment in your heart, and you will not want to look at the next person, and will not want to look at that person who has more than you.
Jazakallah, Mawlana. And Mawlana Azir, coming back to you, there are also a few SMSs and WhatsApp messages came in with regards to this topic that you are discussing, the effects of jealousy. So Mawlana, worth answering your next question, if you would kindly answer the question, the SMS that came through. It says, what about people who are so jealous of other people also? They are jealous of their marriages and go so far as to commit sihr and witchcraft to separate the couple. So Mawlana can, Mawlana Azir can comment on, also Mawlana Ashtab can also comment on this. And together with jealousy, there are other sicknesses of the heart, such as hatred, suspicion, malice. Is it a case of one evil quality leading to another, Mawlana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is related by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not be suspicious. Ijtanibu min al-dham, min al-dhan. Do not be suspicious, for suspicion is the height of falsehood. Nor bear a grudge or enmity against each other. Now these are person-to-person relationships. Do not be suspicious, for suspicion is the height of falsehood. Nor bear a grudge or enmity against each other, nor jealous of each other, nor indulge in backbiting, nor pry into the secrets of one another, nor try unreasonably to excel one another, nor turn your faces against each other. But, O bondsmen of Allah, live like brothers as Allah has commanded. How powerful, how dynamic, amazing. Live like brothers as Allah has commanded. Rise above the challenge. The challenges are there. If we stick closely to the ordinances, the instructions laid out to us by the deen, by the beautiful religion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us, we would naturally rise above all these evils, all these challenges. The evils mentioned above are highly detrimental to the growth of good and friendly relations. They cause ill will and produce bitterness in the hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all, spoke of suspicion, which is a form of unfounded fear and misdoubt. Perhaps that is what they are doing or they are saying. And whoever has a suspecting nature sees viciousness in everything a man does with whom he has the least difference, and his attitude towards him is naturally influenced by it. The other person also reacts, and an atmosphere of sullen malice and ill will is created between them. So all the time, what are they planning? What are they plotting? There is that thought at the back of the mind, prevalent all the time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has termed suspicion as akdhabul hadith, the highest degree of a lie. Generally, every Muslim knows that to tell a lie is a sin, but everyone does not consider suspicion to be as evil. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us, however, that suspicion is the greatest lie. The sin of the heart is not less than the lie of the tongue. Another hadith tells us that to hold a good image of anyone is the best form of worship. Husne zan, think well of others. The same is the case with the other habits indicated in it. They breed hatred and enmity and leave no room for goodwill and fellowship to develop, which the common religious tie demands. The last word of the hadith, live like brothers as Allah has commanded. And this should be the driving factor, the overriding factor, the determining factor. Live like brothers as Allah has commanded. Rise above the challenge. Take to the Quran, take to Salah, take to charity, and maintain husne zan. Think well. Think well of others. Love like brothers as Allah has commanded indicates that only when hatred is removed from the hearts will you be able to live like brothers. Go beyond boundaries, go beyond limits. Just foster, engender, forge that love within, inshallah.
Jazakallah for that. Mawlana Arshad, hatred has become such a common thing in the world, in our communities. What are the effects of this and how do we combat it? And what did also the SMS that came in with regards to the listener asking that people are going as far as committing sihr, jadu and witchcraft just to separate the couple, Mawlana?
Ji, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Mawlana, if you basically we have answered the question in our previous the previous question that you posed, and obviously it comes down to, first and foremost, we are not in control of the next person's feeling. So what we must understand is, many a times we waste our time, people will continue to have, like Moana said, the suspicion that that person is jealous of me, that person is doing this of me, that person is doing that of me. So what actually happens is you are playing in their hands. If they are jealous of you, you need to take your protection, your cover, and what is that? You must recite the du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Recite the mu'awwadhatain in Suratul Falaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly makes mention that we seek the protection of Allah from an envious person, from a jealous person. So these are methods which were taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what we need to do. That we need to see that we are not, as I made mention earlier, we are not the cause of people becoming jealous of us. If the next person continues and that is theirs, they need to work on their heart, we must make dua for them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should protect them as well from this evil, from this guna, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should also remove from our hearts jealousy and also protect us from the jealousy of other people. And as I said, also exchange the gifts. So this is a way, if you feel that someone else is jealous of you, then you also go and exchange gifts, make dua for them. In that way, inshallah, Allah ta'ala will remove that bimari and jealousy from that person's heart as well, inshallah. Manana, what was the question you asked?
With regards to the listener asking that people go as far as making jadu.
With regard to hatred has become?
To separate spouses and make jadu.
I've answered that fairly. They should also make dua for them, exchange gifts. And we shouldn't, as I said, we shouldn't work on suspicion, because we find that one and suspicion, what happens is breaking many, many homes. And, you know, it's normally a suspicion. We're only suspecting something from somebody. And then suddenly, because we work on a suspicion all the time, now that becomes like a reality in our mind. And it is just like a person who feels that somebody is doing something wrong to me, he's doing jadu for me. That is why, even at the twitch of an eye, even if a person gets scratched, what we're going to look at it is if somebody else's, someone has done something to me. Where in reality, if we're having a headache, it is not always necessary that it is done because of jadu. There could be medical reasons. reasons. So that is why ulama says first tend towards medical. Now with suspicion, we go into all these things and our life now becomes a misery, because every moment we are thinking that who is jealous of me and who is I'm suspecting that the next person doing something for me. So we should try to avoid the suspicion and totally and make dua for the person.
Jazakallah. Yes, we are coming to the end of the program. Maulana Nazir Sahib, there's an SMS, a WhatsApp message that came, and this it's a lengthy message, but it's about jealousy at workplace. So the listener says, I would like to know, I am a madrasa teacher, and children take a liking to me, but colleagues will go behind, shout the kids. I feel coming down to the level, kids given them that love, invites them to deen instead of colleagues, tend to put negative thoughts as in fear example, don't hug the upper, or for the kids to drive them away from deen, as this causes hatred and jealousy amongst one another. So the listener wants to know, how can they combat that, and under which part of jealousy will this fall also?
Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You're working, you're doing something, you're constructive, you're meaningful, you're contributing well, right? That is why you've become the object of the eye of envy. Continue doing your good work. Let not any of these matters interfere with your dedication. Understand that well. Allah Rabbul Izzat is witness above all. Allah Rabbul Izzat will deal with that envious person and with his intent. If he wishes to emulate you because of your prowess, your excellence, so be it. If that person wishes to harm you, Allah is there to protect you. But at no time should you compromise your standards. Excel to the best of your ability without, understand this very well, without showing off, without ostentation, without display, without raising the collar. Do it khalisan lillah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on to the question that Mawlana had posed. How do we keep our hearts clean of these sicknesses, and what are the remedies thereof? The Muslim needs to strive against his own self, jihad al-nafs, so that his heart will be free of jealousy towards his Muslim brothers. If he sincerely loves his brothers, most of these problems from which he is suffering will disappear. Maintain an order within yourself. As a rule, a governing factor, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Rashid Saab, Tamar Barakatuhum, Alhamdulillah, with the fadl and the karma of Allah Ta'ala, we had the opportunity of spending some time with him at the Roshni Ishtima last year. He says, Mawlana Saab, love everybody. Sabse muhabbat karo. Love everybody. How are you going to benefit mankind if you cannot love everybody? How powerful those words were. They ring in my ears every day, all the time. Love mankind at large, all the time. How are you going to benefit mankind if you don't love them? When the Muslim realizes how great his virtue and status will be, when he loves his brothers and loves good things for them, and when he knows how great his reward will be if he treats them well, this will motivate him to treat them well in all ways, and to strive to benefit his brothers instead of being preoccupied with jealous thoughts of what they have and he doesn't. There has come to you the disease of the nations before you, jealousy and hatred. This is the shaiva. Understand this well. Jealousy and hatred is the shaiva, the destroyer. I do not say that it shaves hair, but that it shaves and destroys your faith. By the one in whose hand is my soul, you will not enter paradise until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. Shall I not tell you of that which will strengthen love between you? Spread the greeting of salam amongst yourselves. And this is the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to that hadith, it shaves, it destroys faith. It means hatred takes away faith like a razor takes away hair. And keeping in mind, this is most important and essential for us to remember, that we are not hurting anybody else, we're hurting ourselves in the process, and we are harming our belief traits, our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah, as we are coming to the end of our program, Maulana Arshad Faqih Sahab, I would like to ask you, firstly, before the news bulletin, I cut you short regarding a question about Ghairat. I don't know if you want to still put your any remarks with regards to that question, and also your concluding remarks, Maulana Arshad.
I think, Maulana, the question of Ghairat, I think it has been answered. With regard to the concluding remarks, Maulana Nazir Sahab has made mention, mashallah, of the ways. Just one aspect that we need to, one of the ways that to remove this type of sickness, first and foremost, in order for us to help ourselves get rid of this illness, is to understand that we have this illness. Many a times a person's got some wrong, but we try to justify it with everything else. And because of justifying it, we don't have the opportunity of remedying that illness that we have. So we will not now rectify the illness and the sickness that we have, or the spiritual illness that we have, and it continues and it becomes, like I said, it from a small wound, it now becomes a big wound and then becomes very, very difficult to treat. So if Allah protect and Allah Ta'ala clean our hearts of every person from this type of illness, may Allah first clean my heart and the rest as well, inshallah, is obviously knowing that we have this illness. Secondly, repenting with sincerity in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the most important whenever doing something, even when making tawbah, get sincere that, oh Allah, I'm doing this, I have this illness, I beg you to please remove it, and look at this illness and the sin of jealousy, what's gone, and try your utmost best to stay away from it. Secondly is that we should try to bring contentment in our heart, and this is one of the main reasons today why we have all these type of illnesses and bimaris and difficulties in our homes, is because we're not living a content life. And I made mention earlier that look at those who have less than us when it comes to worldly matters. And in dini matters, we look at those who are doing more than us, and we envy them, and we try to reach them, and we try to even we race with one another, which Allah Ta'ala has said that wasari'u ila maghfirah, that run and race with people towards the maghfirah of Allah, towards the good, and how we can attain Allah. But when it comes to worldly aspects, Maulana, I think what we need to do is look at those who got less than us. In this way, inshallah, it will create some type of contentment. It is mentioned, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi once said that contentment opened the doors of peace and security for the servant of Allah, and it makes his heart pure from hatred, evil and malice. The more contented the person is, the purer his heart becomes. And Ibn Qayyim says, however, I do not mean that the servant of Allah should not make efforts to improve his situation. We will make efforts every day to improve our situation. We will work to gain success and progress. But we should not envy those whom Allah has granted more wealth or possession. But we should be content and make dua for those people. If Allah has given them something, that Allah should give them more. Allah Ta'ala should provide them with more. Allah should give them more barakah in their life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should bless us as well. So this is the aspect that we need to do. I know of a person and people who Allah has blessed so much, Maulana, but every time they talk to you and they seeing their brother or their nephew or their cousin got something else in the home, they will want the very same thing. And to such an extent, they will go and want to redo the entire house where they have such a beautiful house. But why? Because my sisters got this in their house, I also want it, so I have to do that. And a person doesn't live with a contented life, because every day his eyes are more on what people have than what he has. And in that way, he cannot live a peaceful life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this. Also, we should, like I said, make dua, recite abundant Quran, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our heart. Every night before we go to sleep, let us ask Allah to clean our heart. We know the incident of the Sahabi, when Nabi alayhi salam said, this is a jannati for 3 days. And then when he came in, and one Sahabi went to go and stay there for 3 nights to see what extra ibadah this person does. And in the end, when he seen he doesn't do anything extra, he then asked him what was the reason, and told him that the reason is when I go to bed and then I get up in the morning, I wake up with such a heart that I don't have any enmity, hatred, malice for anybody. My heart is clean. So we must try to purify our heart, ask Allah Ta'ala to purify our heart, give a lot of charity. Charity, for it purifies the heart, it sanctifies the soul. It is for this reason that Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take sadaqah from their wealth in order to purify. Nabi Allah said, take sadaqah from their wealth in order to purify them. and sanctify them with it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse our hearts from this type of bimari. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and each one of us recite Suratul Falaq, so that we baby and other surahs, so that we may be protected from the envious and the jealous eye. Jazakumullah, and jazakumullah to the listeners of Radio Islam. If we said what was correct, it was from Allah, and anything else that we said which was not correct was from myself and Shaytan.
Wonderful. Jazakallahu khairan, Mulana Arshad Fakir Sahab. We really appreciate that on this Sunday morning you have taken out your valuable time and you have prepared great in details and to give our listeners a better understanding regarding this topic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and make it a means of sadaqah jariyah for yourself.
I mean, actually I should thank you, Radio Islam, as well as the listeners who are listening to us. And in that way also we have the opportunity of sharing the little knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mawlana Arshad Fakir Sahab, Daman Barakatuh. Mawlana is the Imam at Masjid Duha in Senton and also the principal at the Crosby Madrasa. Mawlana was speaking about the topic, causes and effects of jealousy. Now coming back to Mawlana Nazir Sahab, who is sitting here in front of me in the studios of Radio Islam, your concluding remarks and your closing comments, you have about 4 or 5 minutes left, Mawlana.
Jazakumullah khair. I leave you with the following. These are thoughts that have been prescribed for myself. Firstly, regularly make dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat rid us of this kind of melody. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say in his dua, Wahdi qalbi, guide my heart. Wasluk sakimata sadri, and remove ill will from my breast. The phrase guide my heart means to the straight path. Guide me onto the straight path, and remove, take away all forms of insincerity, rancor, and hatred. So number one, dua. Number two, read the Quran Kareem, ponder over its meaning frequently, especially the verses which speak of hasad, because reading the Quran brings one a great deal of hasanat, reward for good deeds. Allah Rabbul Izzat says, Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyi'at. So you have a twofold benefit when reading the Quran. First, the benefit of reading the Quran. The second, of taking the lessons therefrom. Thirdly, read the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing how he kept away from hasad and how he loved well for others, how he managed his relationships with people and with enemies. Fourthly, read the biographies and stories of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. How did they manage their circle? Fifthly, if any such thoughts of hasad cross the mind, then immediately, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and get busy, keep occupied with something that will make you forget these insinuating whispers and thoughts. Sixth, if the shaitan manages to instill hasad in the heart, then beware lest you say or do anything which will show that hasad. Do not give it expression. That is very, very harmful. Every person has his or